Blog Talk Radio.
God's been good.
God's been good to
me. Up, down. Everybody sing.
God's been good to me.
I want to tell you that
God's
been good. Everybody say, all of my life. Come on, giant, say.
God's been good.
All of my life. Hallelujah, I'm on my way. now. Some folks choose silver, silver and gold. Do y'all know that song? That's the old one. Everybody say, they trade and forget about their soul. And for their soul, but I've decided, to make Jesus, my soul. Come on, look at your neighbor, tell him the road gets rough. The going gets tough, and the hills, and the hard to climb. I started a long time ago, a long time. There is no doubt left in my mind, I decided. Tell somebody the road is rough, and the going gets tough, and the hills are hard to climb.
Grateful, because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence, because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified, that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified, in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come into war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord. and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer. And Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
I believe. Not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. So long, bye-bye to the problems and the troubles. Goodbye. I believe God is going to do a new thing for us. I believe he's going to do a new thing in us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But you know, so much has gone on and so much is going on. And even the church, it appears, has forgotten God and forgotten his ways and all this kind of stuff. And the people are scattered because people don't respect the house of God anymore. They don't respect the people of God. That's because of what has happened in the house of God and with the men and so-called women of God. So people have lost respect, and they say, I don't want no more of that. And then when they've been bamboozled and swindled and taught all kind of off-the-wall stuff until when they hear the truth, they don't even believe the truth. They say, oh, no, that's not right. What she's talking about over there, that's a bit too strict. Nobody can live that because they have been taught it's easy. All kind of stuff. I still can do what I used to do, and I'm yet blessed. Now, but there must be some changes. Listen, I wanted to read this morning, Ezekiel, and I'm going to look at the 24th verse for us down through the 26th, because God loves us today, and he understands that his sheep been scattered, and he understands that the men and women of God in the pulpit and leadership have not taught right and have not decided to make him the God of the people lives even. But this is what he said to his people. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And now this is also for us. This is not just for back then, but this applies to us. And where David is, put your pastor name in there. I and the Lord will be their God, and my servant, whatever your pastor name is, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will call the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill of blessings. And I will call the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessings, because this is what happened. They scattered the sheep. They allowed their ugly doings to get out. And when people heard about it, they was already skeptical of God, those who had not experienced him yet, those that had not given him their lives. So they scattered the sheep, and the sheep was hiding all in hills and, you know, all kind of places. They was clubbing, they was doing this, and to replace God. But for those of us that hold on to him, stay with him, never leave him. We may be messed up, but we don't have to give up. We may have gone through some things, but we don't have to give up. We don't have to stop God. We don't have to stop believing in him and trusting him. Because many things have come our way in childhood, in young adulthood, in middle age and older age. Things have come our way. We've gone through things. some stuff we went through before we got to know God. But now that we know him, we can cast our cares upon him, for he careth for us. When I tell you one thing after another, the enemy is trying because he want to bring us down. Yeah. But I can hear the scripture says, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting arms, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. We just got to keep going. There are days when that looks like we're never going to have any money. Sometimes it looks like as soon as you get a few pennies, it's time to pay bills. And when you look like you had more bills this go round than you had the last go round, unexpected things come up. Well, my aunt was sick, now my mama sick. My mama was sick, now my son sick. One thing after another. Yeah, my aunt died, now my dad died. All kind of stuff comes up. But we must remember, great is he that lives within us than he that is in the world. We see that the world, they love their own. They don't love us, the believers. They come against us. Because when light shines in darkness, it shows up the dirt. It shows up the ugliness. Yeah, all kind of things. Last night I was talking to a friend of mine, and he told me something that I wanted to just flip out the chair. I said, what? He said, Mr. Biden is trying to get the IRS to look into our bank accounts. I said, what? He said, and if you have over $600, I'm like, what is all of this for? So, of course, I went to look to see if what he was telling me was the truth. And this is what I found in a thing called Courier Journal. Yeah. Yep. But Lord Colin Powell passed away. We're going to get back to this $600 thing. But Colin Powell died of the COVID-19 complication, and he was fully vaccinated. Yahoo says that for the public not to be alarmed because of the vaccination that Colin had. But I tell you, we got to think for ourselves and stop following up every wind and doctrine. I told you, one lady asked me, Barbara, you didn't get the shot yet? I said, no. What you waiting on? Jesus, I'm waiting on the Lord to come back, honey. Because I can't trust nobody but him. Yeah. Say he wants to record all your money over $600. So look. It says President Biden likes to claim his $3.5 trillion tax and spending spree will only hurt the wealthiest Americans, leaving everyone else unscathed. As his plan comes into sharper focus, although it's become increasingly clear that Democrats intend to radically transform the lives of every worker, small business owner, and family in America. Their latest gambit is a plot to give give the IRS sweeping new authority to snoop on Americans' personal finances, providing federal agents with data on every transaction over $600. This unprecedented expansion of government surveillance should leave everyone alarmed and outraged. Currently, the government has special authority to demand information on bank transfers in excess of $10,000. Theoretically, this allows them to sniff out things like money laundering, terrorism, or tax fraud. But President Biden's new plan creates a massive new dragnet that will sweep up all kinds of ordinary transactions that's normal. Law-abiding Americans make routinely. Now listen to this now. Come on now. If ever there was a time to pray, it's now. If ever there was a time to get right with God, because when our ways please him, not only will he hear our prayers, but he's going to answer. You're forced to vaccinate. Now people, the IRS is going to be able to snoop in your bank account. What in the world is going on? So they know how you're spending your money, stockpiling food, medicines, ammo, firearms. We will no longer have our privacy. Because see, something is being prepared. Let me tell you this, and I know people will hate me for it, but when God give you something, you may not understand it, but accept what God allows. I've said it many times. I said, listen, you may not like what this man, Mr. Trump, stands for. You may not understand. You heard one thing and you think it's another. But I heard what his son said, and that stuck with me. The son said a lot of things my dad said, the media twisted. They twisted it so that the people would be against him. See, it was something to all of this. We never heard this man, Donald Trump, say, Brother Anthony, we was going to have to be vaccinated. We never heard him say, and you're going to be forced to take it. Yeah, I think if that man would have stayed in there, God had a purpose and a plan. But see, we are people that want what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. And if we don't get what we want, get rid of it. They could not wait to get this man out of office and put someone else in there. Ooh-wee. That was for the wrong things. They overlooked the wrong for what they wanted. They heard what they thought they wanted, and they went crazy. So they rushed this man out of office. Now many, I'm sure, they may not say it, but I bet many wish he still was in there. Because he was a human being, and people don't like human beings no more. They want you to be a robot. They want you to be what they expect out of you. But how many know human beings are not perfect? They're going to make mistakes, all kind of. And the way that, and Sister Linda, I heard from her yesterday with a prayer request. And Sister Linda kept trying to tell me, she said, but listen, this, that, and the other. I'm like, but I was told this, that. She said, but this, that, and the other. Listen. We got to open our spiritual eyes. Now, I didn't come against him. I didn't know a whole lot about him. I didn't come against this man. If God allowed him to be the leader of the country where I live, I accept what God allowed. I was better off anyway. He was a human being, a man who just said just what humans do, how I feel today, what I want, what I think. And he didn't even pick no bones about it. He was a businessman. And he felt like he could run the country as a business and bring things back the way that they were. But when people heard him say, make America great again, they twisted it. The media helped them to twist it. And what they felt, especially African Americans, they felt that, oh, he talking about putting us back in slavery. Are you a fool? That's not what he was talking about. We used to make our own stuff, make our own cars, our own trucks. Anything we wanted, we basically made it. We had factories and all of this stuff in America. Some people may be too young to remember. When he said, make America great again, he was talking about bringing back American products, American-made stuff. for American people. Things that American people would know about and we wouldn't be relying on other people to do for us. And we got to pay them. And then when we get used to something, they cut it off and we no longer have it. But nobody could see that, I guess, but me. Because I listened to what his son said. And who would know a father better than a son? Yeah. Yes, sir, Brother Mike, good morning. God bless you. Good morning, Brother Anthony. God bless you. Now we relying on China and a few other places, too. Yeah, we relying on these people. Ships stuck somewhere. All kind of craziness. Because we wanted what our flesh wanted. We listened to this lying media that we knew lie. But because of what we wanted. And God let us have it. Well, let them who wanted it have it. Now that it's come, there's a great suffering coming with it. Yeah. But I'm sure, I'm hearing that Trump, I'm hearing that they saying Trump promoting the vaccine and calls himself the father of vaccines. But I'm wondering, Brother Louis, would he have forced it on the people? You know, would he have offered to fire you if you did not take it? You know, I got to read up on that and see if that would have been a part of his plan as well. But we got these people in there. They're for murder and anything else. Abortion, that's murder. Yeah. Because they're trying to tell the people it's not a baby yet. That's a human being. I don't care if it's a day old. I don't care if it was just conceived 30 seconds ago. It's a human being. And it's breathing. But now they want to mess with what we call in the streets, the money. They want to mess with that money. Yeah. But many are saying it's the New World Order that's coming. They're preparing for it. But if that be the case, they've been preparing. Yeah, I don't think he would have mandated that. Because, two, I know he may have been rich, had money, but because of the people that he has invited to his house for dinner, talk with, they wasn't really rich. They was into something that he was interested in, and these people got to talk with him on a personal level, more than one, you know, more than two. So he understood some things, and I don't think he would have mandated it. And I think he would maybe have come against those who wanted to mandate it, you know. Now, and his administration, you know, may have wanted to push it. And, you know, we have Democrat and Republicans, and, you know, the Democrats may have wanted to push it. I don't know the Republicans. But I know that you got to get your money back. I understand that money have to come back. You gave billions of dollars away, I'm sure. You gave money away to dead people. Somebody else got it and spent it, and it'll never come back. But everything went up in price. And gas fluctuates. Today is $3.11. Tomorrow is $3.14. The next day is $3.12. And food is expensive. Shoes, clothes, cars, the price of basically everything has gone up. So you're going to get your money back. Now, I don't know if the paying for the vaccine is a situation that you want the money back that you gave in stimulus three times, I think it was, to everybody, even those that was locked up in prison. And maybe you had to pay the pharmaceutical companies for the vaccine. So every shot had to be paid for, and sometimes twice they had to get the shots. So I don't know if you're trying to get your all your money back. And yeah, it's really expensive. Food is. I can tell you that, Brother Louis. I've shopped Walmart for years. I've never seen the kind of price. The amount of rollback. Shucks. But anyway, find a way other than ripping the people off and messing with the people to get your money back. They couldn't wait for the country to open back up. They were so afraid of losing money, they prefer to lose people. Let them die. We got to get back to business as usual. And knowing people are not going to listen. Right now, if you go out there and you say, hey, on the 21st, I'm giving away $100 bills, somebody going to be against it. Why? What you giving $100 bills away, they're going to find an excuse and a reason to be against it. So everybody's not going to be on the same page. Some people, I don't know what they think with. I don't know what their mind is. And anything good, people hate it. Any truth that come out, people hate the truth. They don't like the truth. They prefer a lie. Don't ask me why. But he said this article talks about him being able to use the IRS to snoop around bank accounts. Now they say it's so that they can cut down on the laundering of money, terrorism, and tax fraud. It says, but President Biden's new plan creates a massive new dragnet that will sweep up all kinds of ordinary transactions that's normal. Law-abiding Americans make routinely. Yet your bank account will be all kind of messed up. Say you get Social Security and you get $1,400 a month or $2,100 a month. They'll mess all that up saying, well, we got to check on you because of this and that. Come on. Look, man always thinking he's smart enough to outsmart God. You'll never do it. You'll never outsmart God. He put things here in place for a purpose and a reason to keep everybody safe because he so loved the world, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So he put some things in place to keep people that he made for his pleasure safe. Again, even the good, even the bad, and even the ugly. I'm not against nobody gay. I don't care what you do. As long as you don't include me, I'm fine. I may not like what you do, but it does not mean I don't like you as a person. If I saw you hungry and I could feed you, I would. If I saw you had a long ways to go and I could give you a ride, I would. But I'm not going to be a part of your shenanigans. So, man, here we go again. The transgenders say they should be able to use the women's bathroom. Why? You wasn't born a woman. You had to do some stuff to say that you won because a woman is born with certain things and a man is born. If you had all the biological parts of a man, you're a man. You can change it all you want to, but you're a man and you want to be called a woman. Okay, well, we'll call you a woman, but know you're a man and you shouldn't be in the bathroom with real girls and women. So they had a problem at the school. And the guy said he was transgender. And he dressing up like a girl. He goes to school and he rapes a girl. When the dad speak out about it, they call the police on him and have him arrested. Well, some of it eventually come out and they transferred the boy out of that school into another school. Well, he went to the next school with the same foolishness and raped another girl. Or raped somebody else, I should say. You cannot, well, you can if you want to, but changing the plan of God, you're messing up a whole bunch. You're messing up innocent people. And in many cases, they don't care, because I know they feel where they had us in the closet for so long. And they talk about us bad and they're against us. Nobody is against you as a human being. Not real people. We're not against you as a human being. But that's just like somebody coming over who drank all the time. They drank and they get drunk and they stay drunk all day and are drunk all night. I don't drink at all. Does that make me not like them? Or does that make me not want to be a part of the drinking? I don't want to drink, so I'm not drinking with you. I don't like drinking. It does nothing for me, but probably make me sick. So I should be forced with alcohol abusers because they want me to, because they want to drink. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. Now, you could call me homophobic, but if I say something against you, I'm the worst person in the world. But you're able to say what you want to say about me, but I'm not able to say what I want to say about you without backlashes. And it's gotten so close to the place of where it's as if they're running things. If you say something that's right, that's true, they come against you and try and destroy you and your career. But I say this today, great is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. I serve a risen Savior. I serve Almighty God that have all power. Do what you got to do, because I'm going to pray to him whose word I believe, who gave me his rules and regulations to follow. I'm following his. And he told me to leave it alone. Vengeance is mine. Let the wheat and the tares grow together in the day of harvest. He'll do to separate. Oh, that's what it was. Okay, this guy claimed to be bisexual, and he raped two girls in the bathroom of two schools. He was wearing a skirt. One of the girls' father got arrested for speaking up at the school board. Yeah. Oh, they had a big mess during the school board meeting, and they didn't want him to say nothing. And this skirt-wearing rascal done raped his daughter. What in the world? How in the world could you expect me to sit back and do nothing and let them find out what happened to my daughter? Y'all let men with dresses and skirts who say they women come into the bathroom with thoroughbred born women. And quiet as it kept, if I wasn't a Christian, I would be highly offended that you want to portray you're a woman when you're not. And I was born a thoroughbred woman with all of the instruments in my body that God gave to the woman's body. You had to go and pay for yours to be transformed. I don't think it's right. And I'm not against you because of you. I'm against you for wrong. I don't like the wrongdoings that you do. I don't like wrongdoing. I don't like lies. And at one time, they had come out that it was mental health illnesses. But somewhere in there, from high places, they was forced to put it under the rug and say, no, that wasn't it. They don't have mental health. But how can you be two people in one body? Yeah. So we got to pray to make it today. That's what Hammer said a long time ago, and it still goes today. You got to pray to make it today. If ever there have been times to pray, it's now. If ever there have been time to put away that form of godliness and denying the power thereof, it's now. If ever there was a time to draw closer to God, not because of something you won't want from him. I want the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy, so I'm going to get right with God. No. Get right with him because it's right to do right. Because many times we change because of what we want. All before, we had the form of godliness and we were doing what we want. God allowed something to leave us. Now we saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost sealed. But I yet say better late than never. Good that you came on to the Lord for real and stopped having a form of godliness and denying his power. But look at all this stuff that's happening. We thought the virus was something, the vaccine. Now I'm talking about going in my bank account. Now the very thing I thought would happen is happening. A guy with a skirt on in the girls' bathroom raping girls. Did it at this school. The school tried to sweep it under the rug. Did it at the next school you sent him to. Cover your children in the blood of Jesus. Anoint your children and pray for them. Even your adult children. Because a lot is going on. I think it was last week and the week before, I seen so many people come up missing. I'm like, well, where did they go? I mean, they never find a body or nothing. Pray. And that's God off your merits. Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm doing the best that I can. Father, I know your word said, if my people which are called by your name would humble themselves and pray, seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then would you hear from heaven, forgive the sins, and heal the land. And Father, my family, I have family members that has not done this and appear they don't want to do it. But God, I ask that you would move on them this day. Lord, I ask that you would turn the hearts and minds of my children around, my family members around. My mama, my daddy, because some older people, they didn't get there yet. They don't believe. They still doing what they want to do. So now they're going to go in your bank account and see what's going on. Because, see, they told me this, too. They said, look, you don't belong to you. You're in America. It have nothing to do with your nationality, your color, your culture, none of that. What it have to do with you in America, and they own you. They feel like you belong to them, so they can do what they want to do. But this thing is going backwards in my mind. I should have the right to choose. I live alone. Nobody's here with me. I basically have stuff brought to the door outside. The only place I basically really go is to the doctor. And I don't go to the primary care. I do telehealth check. I'm not around a lot of people. I'm not on anybody's job. I'm not going to no concerts, no festival. No, that's not me. And our governor said he was not going to shut the state down again because he had given, told the people what to do, and it's up to them, knowing not everybody was going to do it. And those who choose not to do it were going to give it to those who was trying not to do it. I mean, who was trying to obey his rules. See, in this life, man cannot do what only God can. They keep trying and trying. They keep failing and failing. You will never out-succeed God. You will never outdo him. You will never outsmart Almighty God who have all the power. Look at it, but they won't. Look at this. He made the heavens and the earth. He made you. You didn't make him. We here in the earth and people act like they made the earth. They know how it go. Let's try this and let's try that. Yeah, Lewis say he see online folks have started calling Florida the Freedom State. Yeah, just come here and do anything you're big enough to do. You don't have to wear a mask. You can just be out there wilding out. I want to see what they do this year for spring break. Because I think they did it last year. They ain't care about COVID and nothing else. People don't believe. Until you get somebody close to you to die, then you start believing. Yeah. I'm not afraid, but they gave you instructions. Wash them hands. Pull them clothes off. Wash them clothes. Stop touching and hugging and breathing in people's face. Stop being in crowds. But every time I turn around, they got something going on. Big invite for me to come to Disney. Do you think I go to a Disney World in 2021 when they say in October, that's what was the second or third wave of COVID come through? Are you kidding me? But people don't think. They can't stay home. They can't sit down and be content. Something in them is chasing them, it appear, and they running. If I go over here with a loud noise, that if I go over here, the man taught me this, they can't stay off their phones because they can't spend time alone with themselves. If you got that greater in you, you can sit down. If greater is in you and ruling your life, you'll be able to sit down. Now, if greater's not in you and greater's not you, you won't be able to be still. You're going to rip and run and go here, there, and everywhere. You don't care about COVID and nothing else. It's your thing. You're going to do what you want to do. Nobody won't be able to tell you who to sock it to because you're going to do it your way. And they're teaching them that young. If you feel like this, go ahead and be that. And nobody should tell you how rules and regulations were put in place, even by God, so that we could respect one another. So that we'll know what they call today boundaries. We'll know how far to go. Yeah. Rose Brown, I want you to know I haven't forgotten you. I keep calling the lady and waiting for her. To call me back. She leave me messages, but she never called me back. So that's what I'm waiting on, Rose Brown. Keep praying, yeah? It will be all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. Today we're going to take a listen to Bishop Noah Jones and his messages. I messed up, but don't give up. I messed up, but don't give up. So I say this, we may be messed up, but don't give up. Because God had a purpose and a plan for us before we were born. Before we entered our mother's womb, he already knew us. So we the believers, we trust God. We the believers, we lean and depend on him. We hear all of this stuff. But when I hear all of this, simply look to the hills from which cometh my help. All of my help comes from the Lord. He made the heavens and the earth. There's nothing I can do about nothing unless I tell him about it and trust him that he's going to fix it. And sometimes it looks like once you tell something, look like nothing is taking place, then all of a sudden it just explodes. You got to see. He heard you and looked like he was doing nothing, but he worked it all out. And it worked for your good. Yeah. So we thank God this morning that I messed up, but I don't want to give up. I won't give up. I messed up, but I refuse to give up. And it's already all right today again in Jesus' name. So we're going in to take a listen to Bishop Noah Jones. Again, I messed up, but don't give up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is faithful. He's on our side in spite of us today. Looking beyond faults and yet meeting needs. Let's go in with Bishop.
Moves on your behalf. Oh God, somebody who just has an anointing for intercession. Somebody who knows how to pray someone else through. someone who knows how to pray until God breaks yokes and sets the captives free. I hope you're holding someone tonight who just wants to pray for you tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I come, Lord God, tonight so glad that you allowed us into your presence, allowed us into your throne room. We sublimate, we exalt, we lift you up, we adore you now because you are our God. But we're not coming for ourselves tonight. We're not coming because of anything we need except this drive to bless my brother, bless my sister tonight. I call upon you, Lord, to do something in the life of my brother and sister that will be totally unheard of. Do it right now. Oh, God, you know every secret thing. You know every inner thing. You know the thing that they have never spoken to anybody about. Move right now. Break down every stronghold. Satan thinks he's going to have the rights and privilege to move, but Lord God, block his rights right now. Snatch his authority in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I feel your presence in here. Bless the hands I hold. Move through this building right now. Send a double anointing in here until every heart declares God is in my bosom right now. Oh, bless the hands I hold. Heal sickness. Heal and send deliverance for finances. Lift minds and touch spiritually. And I claim it right now. Lord, bless the hands I hold. I need a breakthrough for my brother. I need a breakthrough for my sister. Send it right now. Send it right now. Send it right now. Let every demonic power back up. Let every spirit of Satan understand that you're having your way tonight. And we claim it done right now. Loose those hands and go for yourself. Give God an ovation. Give him a praise. Lift him up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody touched the throne of God for you. Oh, I believe somebody in here knows how to reach the Lord. Somebody in here knows how to get through. Somebody knows. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Surely we honor God tonight, and we're very grateful to him because of his goodness to us and just allowing us to be here with you again on this marvelous move of God. It's just good to be on the boat with the Lord and with you and with this grateful gospel Baptist fellowship, and we just honor your great leader. Amen. God has just blessed you with just a great, marvelous, wonderful, anointed, special vessel. Put your hands together for the Honorable Bishop Paul Morton. Amen. And to his lovely wife, and surely to this great retinue of pastors and preachers and bishops, to all the clergy, ladies and gentlemen, we just say praise the Lord to everybody in this place. Look at your neighbor and say, I love you too. Amen. Amen. I brought some tapes with me, and I like to get these things out of the way. There's one particular, I have to live here. And I think that message will bless you, because no matter what's going on around you, you have to live here. You have to live in your own body, in your own spirit. And so my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Have you ever had to talk to yourself? Oh yeah, just talk to yourself. See, could you encourage yourself? Because you can't let some things inside. Amen. These battles we fight, they try to get inside. But I have to live here. I don't have to live with you, but I have to live here. Amen. I got to live with me. And then, of course, surprise. Has anybody ever surprised you with something wonderful? God has a way of surprising you. Now, you got it going on. I think I did this somewhere with Bishop Jake and one of the women thou art loose, and it'll bless you. I've got some series here, Threefold Deliverance, The Devil Goes to Church. It's rated R, and Deliverance from People. Amen. And then, of course, Restoration. This is for fathers, for mothers, and for individuals. He cares for me, fathers. Love to the bone, mothers. And I've got to get myself together. Amen. Relationship series, can you handle it? Single, can you handle it? Others and others and others, they'll bless you. God bless you. Heaven smile on you. Now, I don't want to go further without saying that God has blessed you with a retinue of men and women who he has appointed for no other reason than to take us to the next century. And it's marvelous to have in your midst and in your presence, men that God and women that God have shaped for no other reason than to be a blessing. Everybody can't bless you. Amen. Some of us are so unique and so special that just anybody can't bless us. God has to hew out a very special mold and put together and construct a very special type to be a blessing to us. Somebody who knows where we are. Somebody who has one foot in the problem and one foot in the solution. Vessels who are not afraid to expose who and what they are in order to bring us to where we need to go. We're not here because we're following men and women who don't have a vision. We're here because God has placed vision in these great leaders, and we're here because of their vision. And I think we ought to take a minute and from the depth of our hearts just give God praise for the men and women that he has ordained for us at such a time as this. I would you would stand all over this building and give God praise for every leader represented here, to your pastor, to your bishop, to your spiritual guide. Come on and thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God for that voice that God has given to you to speak strength in your life. Amen. Put somebody and say they're the word for your situation. Amen. And God has given my leader a word, and we thank God. And to Bishop Morton we say, just keep on doing the will of God. Amen. We need you, and we need men such as these great men and great women all around us. Now, I want to go into the book of Romans, and I want to go to Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, and I would like also to read the portion of text in Romans 4 that Paul quotes from Psalm 32. So actually, we want Romans 4, 1 through 7, and we want Psalms 32, 1 through 7. And I want you to fasten your seatbelts for a little. It might be bumpy on takeoff, but I think it'll smoothen out as we go. Amen. Help us tonight, Lord. Help us. We need help. In Romans chapter 4, Paul reaches for Abraham as an example of justification by faith. And what Paul does in the book of Romans is he opens up with the doctrine of condemnation. And he points his one barrel of the shotgun towards the Gentiles. And if the Jews in Rome were particularly happy about that, then he pointed in chapter 2 the second barrel of the shotgun at the Jewish Christians. By chapter 3, he has concluded that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now he's not cutting like a mugger. There is a man I went once and I saw, I was in the gym working out and I saw a fellow, he took his shirt off and I saw a horrendous scar from his neck to his belly button. And I thought immediately that had to be some cataclysmic kind of a cut. And I said to him, what happened to you? And he said, I had open heart surgery. And I said, oh, I understand. There's another fellow who was laying on the morgue who just had a 2-inch cut under his fifth rib and he was dead. Now, he just 2 inches. And he was dead, and the fella had 18 inches, and he was alive. And I discovered then that some people cut to kill, and some cut to heal. And so after Paul had cut them, touch somebody and say, sew me up after you cut me, please. And so after he declared all have sinned, he moves from the doctrine of condemnation to the doctrine of justification. And now he proves his point as he deals with Abraham. He says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believeth God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now Paul slips into Psalm 32, and he quotes David. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Glory. I would that we would read Psalms 32 and indulge ourselves a little deeply, more deeply into what David said. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. And he paused. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And he thought about it. For this shall everyone that is godly pray. I have a problem here. We're talking about sin and the forgiveness of sin. We're talking about confession. An acknowledgement of wrong. We're talking about pain and guilt. And then he says in verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Can somebody say amen? Sometimes it's difficult to take any text at all that relates to being in trouble in the church. But we'll take it tonight. Look at someone and say, I messed up, but I won't give up. Look at somebody else and say, messed up, but don't give up. Now, a couple things in passing. Most of us enjoy, more than any other portion of the Bible, the Psalms. I think I would be fairly accurate to say that much of our Bible reading time, except for those, of course, who are professional, we work this thing and we squeeze it every Saturday night, trying to find something every Sunday. But most of us who just read very comfortably and very relaxingly, we have a proclivity simply to turn to the Psalms, because somehow the Psalms represent to us the kind of attitude that we can identify with. It's not heavy theological philosophy. We don't have to search out any systematic theology writers and study through Jürgen Moltmann and Tillich and work hard through various other great minds, Shedd, and we don't have to do that. We just immediately just blend into the attitude of the psalmist. We just go straight into it. Why? Because here is a guy who can just, righteous people, godly people, who can just say, look, I want my enemies dead. Just waste them. You see, somehow, when you read it, you can just be real. You can identify with godly people who, like Psalms 88, the guy just sits there and just goes down the line about how unhappy he is with what's going on in his life. And so we can identify quickly because immediately it reaches us and it blesses us. I will follow this thing that's ticking right here. So now, it's interesting that the Psalms carries a certain comfort with it. It's extraordinarily comforting because it's real. It's hard to be comforted by people who are not real. It's difficult to be in the house of God wondering if you're the only one struggling with something. It's like everybody seems to be so righteous in here, and I'm supposed to have the Holy Spirit myself, but I'm struggling with some things and I'm trying to overcome. The church has become the last place that you can walk in and say, I have a problem. Oh, I feel God in here. People would sit and look at you as if you have a problem, you are in the wrong place, because none of us in here have any problems at all. We are all holy. We are all righteous. We all dress right, look right, act right. And even when we're angry, we don't even show it, you know, because church people don't act like that. And so right away, it becomes difficult to identify with church folk because they have this attitude that they don't have a problem. You know, can you imagine the person just coming off the street who walks into this culture shock of righteousness and holiness, and then all of a sudden, somewhere in the line, down the line, somebody lies on you. I mean, just one of these real righteous-looking, holy people just tell a bald-faced lie. And right away, you come to the reality to understand that everybody is struggling with something. You know, I feel like having church in here tonight. Touch somebody and say, he's talking to real people tonight. So you might as well just get out of your robe, get off your collar, and just understand that everybody is struggling with something. Now, I want to go further to simply say that God can handle sin, period. Everything about this book, everything about what we believe, and the reason we're in here tonight is because we know that God can handle sin. I don't have to hide it. I don't have to act like I'm not struggling. I don't have to play this hypocrite. I can be exactly who I am when I walk into the church, because if there's anything that God can handle, God can handle sin. Oh, God, I feel it in here. He can deal with you being wrong, because he met none of us when we were right. When he met us, we were all. Amen. And it's significant here. And I won't deal with the textual analysis of the Psalms, but we know that David is qualified in 32 because Paul says it is. But I want you to see now that the intense argument of justification that Paul is presenting is to prove then that God is not moved by works. It's that God has to initiate his contact with us, and it is God who is the one who chooses us and not we him. I've heard of unwanted pregnancies, but I've never heard of an unwanted adoption. If there's an adoption and God adopts us after we're born, then he knows the trouble we are going to be. Now, I want you to understand that. He knows the mess. That's why when God gives gifts, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Now, people will tell you, if you don't use it, you lose it, lion. Because you'll still have it. And you'll be judged by having it and not using it, but you surely won't lose it. The reason you won't lose it is when God decided to give it to you, he already knew everything you would do with it. He doesn't get new information. Nobody instructs him. Once he meets in his counsel and decides his counsel, he gives you what he's going to give you, and it doesn't matter what you do with it, because if he were going to take it from you, he wouldn't have given it to you in the first place. He had all the facts. I want you to see how significant it is that it's God who has to initiate salvation. Paul makes that very clear, and so he proves now his argument of justification by starting with Abraham. I want you to fasten your seatbelts here now. It's going to get rough. When he starts with Abraham, he uses Abraham as the father of our spiritual, that's our Judeo-Christian experience. And he points out now that Abraham was not justified by any works. He was justified simply by his trust in God. And then he moves now to quote David. Why David? By any stretch of the imagination, David stirs us to a greater degree of intensity when we deal with a man who has two sides. On the one hand, he is a man after God's own heart. And one of my friends describes being a man after God's own heart as somebody who pursued God, somebody who went after God intensely, desiring for God to make him his bosom friend in relationship, one who praised him and worshipped him and wooed him and soothed him and sought him in the midnight hour, in the morning, just, I want to get close to God. Now, my interpretation is a little bit different from that. My point of view is this, that David was extraordinarily forgiving and merciful. So not that he was pursuing God per se, but his heart was similar to the heart of God. When he could have wasted Saul, he didn't do it. I want you to note that. When he could have wasted Nabal, he didn't do it. He was forgiving. He was the one who said, touch not the Lord's anointed and do his prophet no harm. And David had already been anointed to take his place. But he was merciful. Merciful. I'm going to the mountain. Just stay with me. Yeah. But now, here is a man after God's own heart. On the one side, he was so wonderful, but then on the other side, he was outrageously sickening. Oh God, I propose that there are two sides to you sitting here looking at me right now. on the one hand, you can get high in the spirit and feel the anointing of God moving into the very depth of your soul. But on the other hand, you can be just as evil as anybody that I know. Just, oh, you look so wonderful, don't you? Just so sanctified. Because in your spirit, you can achieve great heights by faith. But God does not disconnect us from our flesh in order for us to walk with him. Oh, I know it's going to be rough, but it'll get better if you just stay here, if you just admit the truth. Sometimes I have wished that the Bible would go away. Maybe it's just me now, but I don't know. But I have just wished sometimes that God really wasn't as serious about what he says. Because on the one hand, I want to do what's right. But on the other hand, something goes to pulling me the wrong way. Oh, God. And I end up with a struggle instead of just sweeping through where God would have me to go. I would like to ask a question. Is there anybody in here who does not struggle to do right sometimes? Oh, God, sometimes you sit there and you cry and you beg God to help you in the midnight hour. Because you know if you pick up the phone, it's all over. If I just, I better not pick up this phone. I better, oh God, I better leave it right there. Sometimes you beg God, Lord, just, you got to help me tonight. You got to help me with everything you got. I know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I know the power of God moves in me. But there are times I wish the Bible would just disappear. Oh, God, I feel it in here. Somebody will tell the truth tonight. Sometime I feel like I'm going to burst if I don't tell somebody a piece of my mind. Saved and sanctified, but you better not come up close to me right now. I want to talk to somebody in this place that's real. I'm sick of talking to folk that's stuck up and won't tell the truth. There is oftentimes intense contradiction in each one of us. By faith, I'm hooked to God, into my spirit. But the walk with God is so intense because he does not disconnect me from my flesh. The war in my mind is what my flesh is speaking to my mind through its contact with the world. And my faith is reaching into the Spirit of God, and he's speaking to my mind through my spirit. And I'm caught in between, wondering, should I go this way or this way? And I sure don't need some stuck-up thing to tell me, if you're really saved, you wouldn't have a struggle. It's because I am saved. I feel God in you. Y'all sit down. You just sit down. Please. It's because I am saved. There was a time in my life there was no struggle. I just did whatever my flesh said. But since I've got the Holy Ghost, I got to fight back. Oh, I feel God in this. Don't sit down. I won't keep you. Oh, Lord. You've got to understand this. That even, no matter how high you get positionally, there is always an intense struggle between what's spiritual and what's carnal. I thought about this generation curse. It moves through the flesh. It moves through the world and the contact. And the world has access through our senses. If I just didn't see that, if I just didn't smell that, if I just didn't touch that. I think I could make it, but I'm touching and I'm smelling and I'm seeing and I'm hearing, and it's putting something in my mind that's warring against my spirit. And I'm caught in an intensity where I'm saying, God, disconnect my flesh. I used to pastor in Texas, and when I was in Texas, a lady came to me and said, Pastor, I'm single. You know, I've been single this many years, and I'm sort of struggling here. I need you to pray for me that the Lord would just take these desires, these bitterness desires out of me. I said, all right, I'm getting ready to pray. But now, if God sends you a husband, will you be back for me to pray that he put it back? No, you know, my second prayer might not be as powerful as my first prayer, honey. So you just ask God to help you while you're going through the struggle. I don't know much I preach like this here. You can be so wonderfully good and find yourself in a battle for life. Because you can get into something in 15 minutes that it takes you 15 years to get out of. Oh, God, I feel it here. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want is David's good side. But Uriah and Bathsheba is David's bad side. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. If you're holy tonight, you ought to be praising God. If you got through that last hurdle, you ought to be giving God the glory. And if you messed up, don't give up. Get back up and tell the devil, you thought you had me, but I'm coming out by the power of the living God. I want you to see that God then does not hinder truth from us. It would seem to me that if David was a part of our entourage, we would do our best to cover his behavior. Oh, God. But God does not cover the behavior of anybody who is significant to him. He does not cover David's behavior. In fact, not only did Israel know it, but we're reading about it some 4,000 years later. Now then, I have to do this. When I read through the Psalms and I see David and I marvel at his grandiloquence, I marvel at his anointing, his creativity, his ability to talk to God. I marvel at the power of his strength. And I look at David and I say, David can preach to me. I like David. He can talk to me. But then I turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. And then I read the man's behavior in 12. And I said, my God, is this the same man? Because most of us were raised in environments that if somebody ever came up wrong, they would be stricken from our list. We would say things like, oh, he couldn't preach to me. She couldn't talk to me. You can't talk to me. All that mess you made and all the stuff you went through, you'll never preach to me again. And when you hear certain people are coming to town, you don't even go there. Because you know what they've been through and you know what they did. I want to ask you another question. Have you stopped reading the Psalms after you read 2 Samuel? I mean, after you read David and Bathsheba, did you turn your book from the Psalms and say, I will not read David anymore because of what he's done? Oh, I feel like preaching now. Because anytime the preacher's on you, you get quiet. So here we go. Now let me say this. Let me bring a child to talk to you and see, could you listen to their preaching? I've got news for you. My life is so complicated that I need somebody to preach to me who has been to hell and back. I need somebody who's been through something to get up and tell me how God can bring you out.
If you've never been through anything, you're not qualified to talk to me. I need somebody that's been close to the edge. I feel the Spirit of God here. I need a David to talk to me. I need a Peter to talk to me. I need somebody that almost threw it away, because I have felt like throwing it away. I need somebody who's been to the edge to tell me God's got the power to bring you back. If you mess up, don't give up, because the power is in the hand of God. I feel God in this place. David's good side and his bad side. His good side was when he told the story of the man. His bad side was when he would take a man's wife, standing on his rooftop, instead of being somewhere fighting as leader of the army. He's standing on the rooftop relaxing. He ends up calling the woman to his house, who actually has no power to tell him no. He is the king. How many times have we been pulled in by the stronger personality, and we end up getting the blame for what stronger personalities do to us? Oh God, can I preach like I feel it? Matthew would not even mention her name in the genealogy. If you read through the genealogy of Matthew, when he gets to Bathsheba, he says, her who was the wife of Uriah. Come on, Matthew. If I know her name, you know her name. Come on, put her name out here. Come on, man. Don't act like that. Oh, God. He didn't even want to touch her name. You sisters, help me now. Touch your sister and say, sister, we get a lot of blame for what men do. I'm going to have just a little church tonight. You've got to understand this, that he pulled her by the strength of his personality. And when he got word that she was pregnant, he sent for Uriah, because he figured anybody who was out there with the proclivities and the tendencies of a man like me would come in and go straight home. But Uriah stopped at David's house, would not go home. Now here is David, who spared Nabal when he protected his goods, and Nabal didn't treat him properly. Here is David, who would not kill Saul, who was trying to kill him. But because he didn't feel like God could deal with his mess, he decides he'll cover it himself. I wish I had a church that would make me feel like when I'm wrong, I don't have to get worse, but I can come just the way I am and say, before I mess up anymore, I need somebody to help me out of my situation. I feel like preaching. Pull on your neighbor. Say, you coming out tonight. The real you coming out of here tonight. We're not going home with any hypocrisy. We're going home delivered and set free from the enemy's hand. Oh, David. This man David told Uriah, go home. And he wouldn't go home. He stayed there, and when he got up next morning, he was there. Then he gives him a letter. Now he's using his loyalty against him. They take it to Joab, and when you get there, when you get to Joab, give him this letter. You and I would have read it. I would have opened it myself, because I would have got the rumor he was going with my wife anyway. And you know I act on rumors. I wish I could preach to you. Folk will hate you with speculation, and God will love you with the evidence. Oh, God, I feel you in here. Oh, I'm here to tell you, here is the man. And they say, leave him in the front and back off him. He ended up killing this man. and taking his wife. Now here is the bad side. He'll commit adultery and murder. Here is the good side. When Nathan comes to him and tells him the little story about the man with the ewe lamb, David said, if he took the man's ewe lamb and fed his visitor with all of what he had, that man shall surely die. That's David's good side. Even when he's wrong, he's sensitive. Oh God, I wish I could preach it. But then here is his bad side. Thou art the man. Oh, can you see what Paul is doing? He intensifies his argument on justification by pulling up David. And what he's trying to show us is there is no glory in the flesh, because Abraham sinned less viciously than David. But don't fool yourself. The father of the race himself was not justified by works, but by faith. Tell somebody, I'm not here by behavior. I'm here because I trust God. I don't go to church because I was so good. I don't go because I am so good. I still believe the text, unto him that's able to keep me from falling and present me with all of my mess faultless. Put somebody down, it's going to happen. Because no matter how I mess up, I refuse to give up. Oh God, I feel a breakthrough coming. Notice the text, if you will. He uses according to the flesh in contrast to according to the spirit. And what it does is it refers to the department of our being from which springs works in contrast to that which springs faith. Whenever Paul is speaking of the relation of works to justification, he never uses dia or by means of. He never uses through, but he uses out of. Because the Jewish faith thought that the meritorious source of salvation was one's works. God didn't choose me because of my behavior. He chose me in him before the foundation of the world, which means that he put his hand on me in spite of what he knew I would do, because he has the remedy to make me right. I can't make myself right, but God can make me right. And when folk can't make you right, God can make you right. And you must always look to your future and never to your past. Because the reason the devil brings up your past is because he can't do anything with your future. Oh God, I feel your power in here. And so now he says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. The problem now comes with the it. The it in that verse, and that is now, what does the it refer to? Is it a question now of one, God's righteousness being freely given to the sinner? Or is it that God made Abraham righteous on account of the merit of his faith? Is he righteous because he believed? Or is he righteous because I gave him righteousness? Do you see where we are here? Now, if you look at it from the whole book of Romans, you will only conclude that it could not be the second. It's got to be the first, because he's proven all guilty of sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So now, if God made Abraham righteous on account of the merit of his faith, then we're saying it is strictly and entirely a work. And as such, his faith would be the efficient cause of man's justification. But that couldn't be, because it was not the act of believing which was reckoned to him as a righteous act, or on account of believing, which perfect righteousness was laid to his charge. But when he talks about his faith, he talks about Abraham trusting God to perform his promise introduced to him in the blessing that he said was coming. In other words, when I come to God, I come as I am. This is me. But I come believing God. I don't have an act of faith that God regards as righteous, but I come trusting God with all of my weaknesses, with all of my fleshly proclivities, with all of my bad record. Just let me in the church, because I believe if I can get in the house, that God will bring me out. Now can I take it a little further? He's had an attitude of trust in the acceptance of God's blessing, and that made it possible for God to bestow righteousness on him. Faith is simply the bridge that God moves over to deposit the righteousness in Abraham. Faith is not the cause. Faith is just the bridge. How might I put it? If a man is drowning, I'm drowning, and I stretch up my hand and somebody catches it, is my stretched out hand the cause of my being rescued? The answer is no, because a whole lot of drowning folks stretched out their hands and nobody was there to save them. It is not my stretched out hand that saved me. It's the lifeguard that caught my hand. My hand was just the means by which I could be saved, but it did not save me. How might I put it? Here is a woman on the housetop, and the fire is raging on the house. Oh, God. And the firemen come, stretch out the net, and say, jump. If the woman jumps, did the jump save her? No, the jump didn't save her. The firemen who caught her saved her. The jump was just the means by which she could be caught. When you mess up, don't jump back into the mess, but jump into the hands of the Lord who died to save you. I got news for you. Touch your neighbor, say, neighbor, if he died for you, he'll kill for you too. I feel like preaching in here tonight. If he died for you, he'll wipe the devil out of your face and give you power to get back up and stand where you ought to. And that's why the writer declares, give me just a few more minutes, I'm through. That imputation, it's God who imputes or puts righteousness to our credit. Sometimes while I'm in the house of God, and he realizes the struggle I have, he deposits righteousness inside my spirit and puts it down in me and gives me credit for a behavior I don't deserve, because he sets it in my account. Notice in the text, it's not a reward, because if it were a reward, it would be dues, paid for work wages. And I have not done enough holiness to deserve the anointing of God. That's why you don't let folk mess with your faith, because guilt and faith don't go together. When folk make you feel guilty, it stops your prayer life, because you feel like, I don't deserve to ask God to help me because of the things that I'm struggling with. But that's a lie, child, because nobody deserves for God to bless them anytime. I heard the Bible say, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Touch somebody, say, I messed up, but I can't give up. I gotta wait on the righteousness that comes from God. I feel the Spirit of God in here tonight. Pull on somebody. Say, neighbor, you can come out of it. God's going to take you out of it. Don't sit here and die, but rise up and tell the devil, I'm coming out of it. He says it's not a debt, because if God owed it to me, then it couldn't be grace, because grace is not a legal debt, but grace is unmerited favor. And that's why when I come to God, I don't ask him for justice. I ask him for mercy. I feel the Holy Ghost, because sometimes I feel so sick of myself. I feel like throwing in the towel. But something on the inside says the same God that brought you out of darkness into this light, he can deal with anything that comes his way. I want to talk to some preachers in here tonight. Don't give up. Too much has been invested in you for you to walk away because you messed up. I feel like preaching in here. Come on here, Johnny, so I can preach like I feel. I heard David when he came out of himself in deep repentance. He said, I suffered in the night because of my guilt, and I felt the pressures of my spirit all through the night. But I'm so glad that you deposited some riches in my account and put righteousness in me. Can I preach it like I feel? Sometimes the Lord has to cover you while you're struggling with something. I wish I could talk to some real people tonight. I think we could get a breakthrough in here if some folk would just admit that sometimes God has to cover you so your enemies can't find you when you're struggling with something. If my enemy could find me while I was struggling, he would destroy me before I could recover. But I thank God, he knows how to cover every one of our struggles. Because if the saints could see you in the middle of your struggle, they would turn on you. That's why he covered you. Because he knows this time next week you will be delivered. But if they knew even when you were delivered, they would never forget it and always talk about it. So he covers you while you're struggling. Every now and then he'll check you out with a move of the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you, didn't I tell you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm still here. I know your flesh is weak, but I'm depositing. Touch somebody, say, thank God for my last deposit. I've been drawing on my last deposit. Then what he'll do, he'll strengthen you, he'll wash you, he'll fortify you, then he'll pull the covers off and let you tell it. When I was down, you thought I was up, but God held me together in the power of his hand. I feel like preaching in here. Give somebody a high five. Tell them, don't give up. There's another deposit coming. Don't give up. He's getting ready to pick you up. Don't give up. The deacons will get over it. Don't give up. He'll fix the world for you. I feel it in here. The psalmist says, thou art my hiding place. Have you ever been hidden by God? Have you ever hid in the cleft of the rock? And when the devil tried to get you, he stood in the path. Said, I know he's weak, but you ain't coming in here. Because I'm getting ready to give him a double anointing. David said, take my job. Take my car. Take my house. Take my land. But one thing, don't take away. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. But somebody say, you can have my house. You can have my car. You can talk about me like a dog. But as long as I'm still anointed, I won't give up. I'm coming back up. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hold on, somebody. Tell him you're coming out, man. He's going to bring you out of that mess. If you hold on, he'll bring you out. He'll turn it around. The psalmist declares, you compass me with songs of deliverance. Everywhere I turn, you brought me out. When I lost my mind, you brought me out. When I lost my money, you brought me out. When I could have messed up, you brought me out. When they had me cold, you brought me out. Turn around one time. Say, everywhere I turn, there's deliverance. Everywhere I turn, there's more joy. Everywhere I turn, there's a way out. Touch somebody. Say, neighbor, don't give up. I don't care how you mess up. Don't give up. There's too much invested in you. I feel like preaching. I feel the Holy Ghost. Tell somebody, don't give up. You're close to the edge, but don't give up. You came to the meeting to get some strength. Don't give up. Don't resign. Don't walk out. Don't leave. Hold on. I feel an anointing. Hold on. I feel him picking you up. It's turning it around. Shake three hands. Say, hold on. I feel a double anointing. Hold on. He's getting ready to strengthen you. Hold on. He's taking you higher. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Lay your hands on somebody and say, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hold on. Hold on. I feel like preaching in here. Come on, preachers. Run down here. Lay hands on somebody. Somebody in the crowd. Feel like giving up? Come on down here. Come on down here. Come on down here. You better hurry up while the anointing is here. You can't give up. You can't give up. Tell the devil, you thought you had me, but I'm getting away. I'm feeling it here. Lay hands on somebody. 3 minutes, and then we're through. 3 minutes. If you're coming, come on. Break up in here. Run up in here. In the door. You can't give up. Fire shut. You can't give up. You can't give up. Help me, help me. You can't give up. You can't give up. You can't give up. What's wrong with you? You can't give up. You can't give up. Ayabasha. You can't give up. Never. 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 You can't give up. I don't care how rough it is. You can't give up. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. You can't give up. You can't give up. Trouble may come. Trials may come. Heartache may come. Weeping may endure for a night. But joy. Shout hallelujah. Tell the devil I won't give up. God in this house. Touch three people real quick. Say I messed up, but I can't give up. I can't give up. I'm moving into my best season. I'm getting ready to move into my best season. From trials to joy. From fighting to refreshing. From struggling to releasing the power of God. I refuse to give up.
It was meant to kill me, sin to destroy me, and I thought that it would, and I thought that it should. 'Cause I messed up so many times, I went left when you said right. I'll understand if you wanna let me go, let me go, let me go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go, and you wouldn't let me go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go. And what the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. Yeah. It was meant to kill me. Sin to destroy me, yep. And I thought that it was, yeah. And I thought that it should be, 'cause I messed up so many times. I went left when you said right. I'll understand if you wanna let me go, 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 go.
But it's working for me.
It's working.
It's working.
what the enemy meant for evil, God has turned it around for my good. Oh, what was meant to kill me, it only made me better.
Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I messed up, but I don't have to give up. Hallelujah. Yeah, he said go right. I went left. I did all kind of things, but he yet blessed me. He wouldn't let me go. So I messed up, but I didn't have to give up. And I can keep looking to the hills from which cometh my help. All of my help comes from the Lord today. He made the heavens and the earth. And so I'm grateful unto him. He's on my side today in spite of me. Looking beyond my fault, yet blessing me. Hallelujah. Meeting my need. And so I'm grateful again unto him. Appreciate him. Love him. Yeah, wouldn't take nothing for him because I can't make this journey without him. So listen, the studio is open. If anyone have something they would like to say this morning, please feel free and come in and share with us today. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. That was Bishop Noah Jones this morning. And I messed up, but don't give up. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful message. And so I'm grateful again unto Almighty God. So look, I'm going to do roll call this morning early. And after roll call, we'll go to one more song. And if anybody have anything to say, feel free to press that number one today. If not, we'll get out early. Hallelujah. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. And good morning to you, Sister Andrea Stenner, Brother Anthony, Sister Simone, Sister Diane, Sister Rita, and Sister Jerry this morning. Good morning. God bless you. The main man holding that chat room down, Brother Louis. Good morning to you. And good morning, Sister Neera Ann. And Sister Rose Brown was here with us earlier. And Sister Melanie Rose, Sister Laura, Mr. Mason, and Miss Deborah, Alexis, Sister Angela Foot, and Mama, Sister Annalie Foot. And good morning to you, Brother Jermaine, and Brother D, Brother Mike Hawks, Brother Cal, Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton, Brother Justin Gilmore, Brother Frank, Brother Marquez Griffin, and good morning to you, Apostle Claudia Boatwright. Good morning to each and every one. Today we thank and praise God for the message, because that's what's going to save us, the word of God. Knowing his word is so important, and applying it is even more important, because we can know it, but if we don't use it, it won't do us any good. So we don't want to just know his word. We want to know it and use it. Yeah, because the word is going to do what God set out for it to do. It won't return void. And so we thank God this morning, and we're grateful again unto him. He's faithful to us. He's on our side. And I had to take something for that knee this morning. I feel a little sleepy after taking it, but I had to have a little something. And God is good to me and always on my side. And listen, y'all, if you can, start getting your stuff together for your holiday if you can. If you can, buy water. Stock up some canned goods, non-perishable items if you can. Again, if you're shopping for Christmas and you can get some gifts early, do it, because you don't know what will be on the shelf after Thanksgiving and coming into December. You don't know what will be at the store. And I think it was last month, I'm not sure if Walmart is doing layaway again, but you can check on that and see if you can lay some stuff away That way, at least you have it, you know, done. And all you got to do is finish paying for it. Some people don't believe in layaway, but it's a less expensive way to shop for Christmas in my book. So whatever you can do to get yourself together, do that. If you have a deep freezer and a freezer on your refrigerator and you're able to stock up meat, stock up whatever frozen stuff you can, whatever non-perishable items. You may have to buy boxed milk, powdered milk, and canned milk so that you can have it for your children, because we don't know all this going to happen. I was talking to my daughter last night, or Shante, and she said she went to the store and some of the shelves were empty. Because up there, you know, it have to come from a long ways. It come from the lower 48th to Alaska, and they didn't have a lot of items on the shelves. I shop with delivery. They bring the groceries to the door. But on yesterday, I just felt like testing something, so I went over and picked up some items to see how things were going. And it's still going. People still picking up food. But in bulk, a lot of people had a bunch, you know, a case of this, a case of that. If you can get paper towels and tissue, detergent, fabric softener sheets, bleach, whatever you need to run your house, if you can do it now, go ahead and start now. That way, if they run out of whatever, you already have what you need. Some things they may be already out of. But I had said if it'll last until this coming Saturday, I'm going to really shop. And I found some places to store stuff in my kitchen. So I'm going to be working on that. And if you need personal hygiene items, body wash, soap, tissue, deodorant, lotion, go ahead and get that if it's at all possible for you. That way you will have it. And listen, I know I had not mentioned this in a while, but don't forget Sister Rita. We still have the GoFundMe page. And I got busy with the daughter passing away and in the hospital and some other things, but I'm going to start back to doing that because we've come a little ways with it. We've come a little ways with it. Not as far as we planned to get, but God blessed us to see just how far we have come. And if we can, you know, give $10, $5, you know, that will add up. If we each gave $3 a week, that will add up pretty quick. And before we know it, her and Kyle have a place of their own, and her other son, he may be wanting to come home. So she'll have a place for him to come. So I will start back to advertising the GoFundMe, and let's see how far we can get with that. Yeah. Yeah, first aid and over-the-counter meds, too. Thank you, Brother Lewis. If you use Tylenol or you think you're going to need it, get that. Peroxides, alcohol, cotton balls, whatever you think you need. If you need nail polish remover, you know, whatever, baking soda, I'm just naming off some things. Canned vegetables, frozen vegetables. You may need ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, relish, whatever you use. Try to remember to make yourself a list and go down that list and get the things that you can. If you can't do it all at one time, do it a little bit at a time until you've completed it. And you have some stuff in your house that if things don't go right, you can yet eat. You and your children, you and your husband, hamburger helper, all that kind of stuff. Some stuff I don't eat because of the sodium. But I can make it from scratch. Make sure you have noodles and, you know, tomato juice even, all this kind of thing. Because the push come to shove, and I had to make a meal, and all I had was noodles and tomatoes. I could make a pot of noodles and tomatoes, a little salt and pepper in that, and that thing tastes awesome. Yeah. Tuna. Yeah, make sure you got your tuna and everything. I try to keep tuna, at least 6 cans, you know. And that way you got what you need. Peanut butter, jelly. Yeah, make sure you get all of it. Butter. If you use margarine, use margarine. Canned fruits, because you may not be able to keep fresh fruit long. So get canned fruit. Have that in the house, especially if you have children. And you might want to get some already made cookies, you know, or Toll House cookies, and put that in your freezer, especially if you have a deep freezer, because children like all that kind of thing. And if you're a baker, you know, you can get flour and a baking soda, baking powder, vanilla, you know, whatever you use. And some things you can bake and make with your children. You can take saltine crackers and pour caramel over it and put chocolate on top, sprinkle a little nuts on that. Kids love all that kind of stuff. And you can even make some homemade candies. You know, just to take a look on Pinterest. They have everything over there. And that way you're able to try and make it through. Yeah, because we don't know how long this thing will last. And if you got a grill, make sure you get your charcoals and everything, and that way you can grill sometime, you know. We in Florida, so it don't get too cold too often, but it does get cold. But some days, you know, I like to just throw a spit of chicken down the middle, clean him good, wash him good, and just spread him out, the whole chicken, out on the grill, and let him cook. And a slow, you know, grill. And that way you got a whole chicken. It's just me. So I can eat off that quite a while. You might want to throw some chops on the grill, you know, if you eat pork chops. I don't eat them. I was thinking about the other day, Sister Jerry had mentioned them to me quite often, and I was thinking you should get you 2 chops and throw them chops on the grill. You know, just whatever you eat, turkey or whatever, you know, because you can put a turkey leg even on the grill and just let it slow roast, you know, slow grill rather, and smoke it. Yeah, that kind of thing. And it tastes pretty good. So it's all kind of ways. And if you know about cooking, I was always told to cook, keep grits and rice and self-rising flour, oil or shortening, and butter in the house, because if push come to shove, you can use those things. If you know how to cook, you can use those things to make a meal. I like pork and beans, Van Camp pork and beans, and just heat them up, no nothing to them. And I like that with cornbread on top of the stove. That's a meal, I promise. When I was coming up as a girl, I would go in and pork and beans was left from yesterday and cornbread. It may not have been the cornbread on top of the stove, just regular cornbread. And I would take that and eat beans with it and put sugar in water and make what we call sugar water, because I had no Kool-Aid, you know, no juice to drink. Put that sugar in that water and drink that behind them pork and beans and cornbread and be full. And sometimes my brother would say, what you ate? And when I would tell me, I can't play like that. I got to have me something. Let me talk to mama, you know, because I would just do something quick, you know. And turkey in a large can, Keystone brand ordered from Walmart. Okay. Yeah, beans and cornbread, that's a good deal. I have just taken beans and cut an onion up, salt and pepper, and just beans, you know, the dry beans turned out pretty good. Cut me some onion up over it when it get done too, fresh onion, and went to town. Yeah, but if you can, go ahead and start stocking up on your Christmas items, your Thanksgiving dinner. If you can, go ahead and start stocking up for that, because we don't know what it'll look like coming up towards Thanksgiving. This year I only have a pan of dressing to make. And I'm going to make that pan of dressing for my friends and get Nikki to bake a pound cake for her. And that's it for me for cooking, because I'm going to my niece and do the right thing over there at her house. Because I taught her to cook, so she cooks good. So I'll go over there for Thanksgiving and bring me a plate home for later, and that's that. Then on Christmas, the same thing. Yeah, I'm not doing no cooking. It's just me here. COVID, I'm not inviting nobody over, but I will go over to that niece and get me a plate and move on. Yeah. And I love good Thanksgiving cooking. And LaVell Crawford, he's a comedian, just as crazy as he can be, say he loved Thanksgiving. And say him and his friends used to ride out while the mama them cooking the dinner, and they be out smoking weed. And when they get back to the house, they hungry. And he said it looked like they asked the oldest person in the family to pray over the food, which took the longest prayer in the world. He said when they opened their eyes, he got a turkey leg. He done started eating because he said he couldn't wait no longer. Because the oldest person in the family go pray forever. He said it looked like they were going to pray till the next Thanksgiving come. And he loved Thanksgiving, and he loved all the delicious food. And he used to be real, real heavy, but he's lost a lot of weight. But, yeah, we love food over on this end. I don't know too many people over here who don't love food. And some of us, we love to cook. And Nikki's not as old as I am, but Nikki enjoy that cooking. And she told me Sunday, I'll be over there tomorrow and make you some turkey wings. I said, okay, because I had made squash. So last night, she got busy yesterday. I'll be over there tomorrow after the show and make turkey wings for you. I said, well, Nikki, I'm not eating all of that. Yeah, and the turkey wings good for you, Mama. You can eat turkey wings. I said, yeah, I can have some turkey wings. It's just depending on the seasoning she put in it, you see. Yeah. Thank you for promoting the GoFundMe, my children, and I appreciate it. Oh, you're so welcome, Sister Rita. Oh, we're going to get some stuff done in a little bit. Just bear with me. Just bear with me. Yeah, I was going to do something different, but the Lord had me to hold on. And Sister Jerry and I was talking yesterday about you and that, and she was sharing with me. So just bear with us. We didn't forget you now. We didn't forget. Yeah, we just waiting on some things, and the Lord is moving, and quickly, it's going to happen for you, Sister Rita. I'm talking about quickly, and not many days from now. It's not going to take forever. Just continue to have a little more patience with God, and he's working it out for your good, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, Lord. All right. I was going to end it, and I got one more request here. And I'm going to play this request. And when we come back, the studio is still open. So feel free to come in and share. We have time this morning. I'm looking for this one request. Oh, I think it's down here. Okay, right here. All right, one more time. Double take.
I just want to pray
forever. Come on.
Never,
you've done for me,
blessings and glory,
and honor,
hey,
oh.
encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Hallelujah. I love that little number right there. I thank God for blessing me. All the glory and honor and praise, it all belongs to him. Hallelujah. And so he is worthy this morning, but Lou and I sent him a message and told him, I can't wait on the stuffing, the turkey leg, the cranberry, the ham, and the potato salad. I'm waiting on Thanksgiving. Yeah, try to behave myself until then. And if you want to come over and do turkey wings as squash casserole, she had never put cheese in hers. And I think eggs or something. And I told her I put all that in mine. And so if I have it, I can have a turkey depending on, again, how she cook it in the seasonings, because I'm really, really trying to be careful. And I get a few pounds off. And hopefully by Thanksgiving, I can have a little dab of this and a little dab of that. But I can't go too deep, although it's Thanksgiving, because I done went deep all year long. So I'm good. And then next month, Louis, they bring the eggnog out. Yeah, Louis said mashed potatoes and gravy. we do the traditional soul food. Yeah, so we have like ham, turkey, chitlins, greens, macaroni and cheese, potato salad, cornbread. I'm trying to think of something else we have. My family, we make the squash casserole and stuffed eggs. Some people call them devil eggs. I can't eat them with the devil name on it. So stuffed eggs, and we got to have them traditional sweet potato pies. And I like a French coconut pie myself. And, oh, boy, apple pie, cherry pie, all kind of cakes. And one of my favorites is that German chocolate. You got to have that. Now, the Thanksgiving just not right. So German chocolate and the traditional yellow chocolate cake. Somebody may bake a coconut cake, caramel. You know, you have a lot of food for Thanksgiving. And don't forget that cranberry sauce. I got to have that with that dressing. And I usually make a seafood dressing, but I got to see if Terry want that. If not, I'll make her the traditional, just regular, you know, dressing, turkey dressing, as we call it. Cut the turkey up in it and everything. That way you get meat in every bite with your cranberry sauce. Yes, sir. All right, Brother Anthony, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning, sir. God bless you. How are you?
Bless, highly favored. Good morning to you, Miss Barbara. Good morning to everybody. First of all, I want to give God thanks for life, health, and strength, keeping my right mind, allowing me to see another day, never seen before. Thank you for activity of my limbs. And thank you for who he is and me, what he's doing in my life, where he brought me from, where he's taking me. And I just give him all the honor, glory, and the praise. And I just thank him for everything. And I'll say good morning to you, Miss Barbara, Brother Louis, Brother Frank. I'll say good morning to Sister Jerry, Mother Anna Leafoot, Sister the Foot family, because I can't remember the other lady's name anyway. Brother D. Jermaine, Brother Perry, Brother Hamilton, Sister Rita, Sister Brown, Sister Samoa, Sister Jerry, good morning to you this morning. Sister Alexis, good morning to Sister Kim, Brother Mike Hop, Sister Kim Hop. I can remember this morning on top of my head. Well, good morning to everybody, and the ones I miss, good morning to you as well. And we just thank God again for another day never seen before. We thank him for being able to come together in the morning for Jesus in the morning and fellowship, and, you know, just being able to hear one another's voice. You know, thank God that, you know, we're still here alive and well. So we just thank God and give him all the honor, glory, and the praise. And I just thinking about the topic this morning, you know, I messed up, but I won't give up, you know. I did a whole lot of stuff, you know, throughout the time before I knew God, and even, you know, becoming the God and knowing him as my personal Lord and Savior, and I still have my downfalls, and, you know, I might come short sometimes, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I got to just know that, you know, regardless of what go on, he's still with me. So I just thank God for his ever-loving love and his hand that he stretch out to us and continue to draw us, you know, because he has a purpose for our life. So, you know, I just thank God, and I praise him for that. And I wanted to say, I think in the beginning this morning, we were talking about, you know, some of that New World Order, and I was listening to the news, about Colin Powell, but I heard something else about China, where they had made a missile, like a solar nuclear missile, and they said it goes three times faster than the speed of sound, and they have been testing it, and the government just now, you know, found out about it. So, you know, we just got to be watchful and be praying about some things, you know. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir, we do. I told you, if ever there been a time to pray, it is now. It is now. Look, it gave it telling me to stop all that talking about that food. And she said, you did good, Brother Anthony, you did good. You just can't get the family names. Tell my neighbor help you out, Angela and Adelaide Foot. Just saying. And then she come back to my Ashton and say, he did so good. You know that Jerry too much. She had the doctor with Cal this morning. Hey, Cal.
Oh, yeah. Brother Cal.
Yeah. Because you know if she could talk, she'll be... wasn't that Sister Rita? Wait, that was Sister Rita, Brother Ashton.
Sister Rita.
That wasn't Jerry. Uh-huh. That was Sister Rita.
Okay.
And then see what Jerry said over here. Jerry said, stop talking about all that food. I like dressing with children. I mean, with chicken. But I love all the sweet things. We know she loves cake, pies, cookies, all of that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So she had to at the doctor with Cal today again, and she couldn't really talk. But you know, I should. And look at Brother Louis talking about, now I'm hungry. They flew that missile completely around the planet, and it can carry a nuke. Ooh, ooh. Let me tell you, if ever there's been a time to pray, it's now. Because if somebody get a hold of it like they did that, like they say, they got a hold of that corona and turned it loose, or we'll be in trouble over here. So we want to keep the country lifted up, keep the American people, keep the American leadership, and just keep the world lifted up in prayer. And ask God to give us all a drawing unto him, that we won't have a form of godliness denying his power, but that we will be real with him. I heard Bishop Noah Jones say this morning, struggle. Many have struggles. And he said he did, before he received God and received his spirit, he didn't have them struggles. And you don't. Before you come to God, you ain't got no struggles. You're doing what you want, and it's all right, and you got a few things, but not as much. But once you give your life to Christ, oh, get ready to battle, because that devil coming. If he wants you back, right. He upset that you left him, and he gonna keep your mind on some things. And a lot of times I talk with a lot of men, especially, you know, preachers, and they explain things to me, you know, about fornicating. And one of the hardest things, sister, is for me to stay away from them women. I know what you mean, brother.
Yes, ma'am.
We are some beautiful creatures. And so, you know, they request that I pray their strength, you know, when it comes to stuff like that, you know, because they're not married, some of them, and, you know, they ain't got no business sleeping around. And sometime I had one to tell me, he said, I hadn't planned on it for the day. And my mind was on going to work, coming home, and doing what I do once I get home. He said, sometime I go to the gym, and then I go home. I'll go home, then go to the gym. He said, but this particular day, I ran into this sister, he said, and years ago, I always said that if I got a chance, I was going to ask her to marry me. He said, and I saw her that day. And when I saw her, she was all bubbly and happy to see me and everything. He said that I was really happy to see her. And the next thing I know, we done connected, sister. They pray for me. Pray for me. You know, I repented, but pray for me. So in this life, we're going to have struggle because carnal and spiritual are always fighting against each other. But whoever we yield our members to, that's who going to win. Yeah, that's who going to win. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. All right, Sister Samoa, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Miss Barbara. How you doing? You just every time I hear you, like, I just get this joy in me. That's why when I say hi, it's always a big smile behind it, because that's what you give out. That's what you sow. So that's what you reaping. You understand?
Yes.
Yeah. So good morning, everybody. All my brothers and sisters, my aunts, my uncles, wherever you are in my life. I just want to I just want to thank God, you know, because, you know, he gives us things that we never even thought about. He gives us life. He gives us breath in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Like when our tummies when they get hungry, right? He gives us that urge to feed them. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just gives us everything we need, and we don't even think about stuff. We just go on and on and on. So it just made me think about how people feel when they're being used. All of us have feelings, you know, and, you know, we know that there's a right way and there's a not-so-right way to do things. And, you know, when you take advantage, people don't feel good about that, you know. But God is graceful. He's merciful. Oh, my gosh, he's kind. And I just want to give him praise this morning. He made some beautiful creatures, which is us. He made some beautiful creatures. I thank him for allowing me, even though I wasn't too happy with the circumstances, I just thank him for allowing me to be able, you know, to give him thanks, you know. And I thank him for his wisdom and his insight, because he give it to us all the time. And I thank him for our church family right here on this line. And that's it. I just thank him. That's it, y'all. That's it.
So Samo, we don't forget you or nothing. We don't forget you. And that's why each morning somebody said it. Good morning to you, Sister Simone. Get the good morning, this one and that. Yeah, because God is faithful. And he brought this faithful few together for a purpose and a plan. Yeah. And we really do love one another. We really do love one another. And many times, you know, you hear people say things, you know, and it lets you know love is there. Love is there. And we should be free here. We should be free to speak. And not so concerned about what other people say, because it's what we're speaking is the truth. Yeah. And we just thank God. That's what we mostly say. And we thank God, because here we give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. Yeah, he's number one over here. And so we thank him. But I had this. Now, Brother Anthony and Sister Rita, I really did think Jerry was at the doctor's office and she wasn't going to be able to say nothing. Let's see what she got to say this morning, y'all. Let's hear.
Good morning, everybody. I snuck down the hall. But I heard Sister Simone's voice, and I had to say, oh, good morning, Sister Simone.
Good morning.
It's so great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I can't talk long, you know, because I'm supposed to be in here waiting. But I love all you guys. And Bob was bringing up all that food. I've been good. I haven't had no sweets, but Barbara, I'm looking forward to that turkey dressing, some gravy. Oh, I'm starving right now. I think I'm going to have to go to Publix and get some one.
Now, she done told me to stop talking about all that food, and here she goes. Here she goes.
Well, Sister Salmo, it is a blessing to hear your voice. Good morning, Sister Rita, Sister Ashley. Brother Frank, good morning, everybody. It's so great to hear voices. It's just so great. I love this. I love this. I just love it. So good morning, everybody. Let's get ready for some hot chocolate because it's getting ready to get real cold.
Wait
so a my knees are hurting, my back are hurting.
You done went off to Thanksgiving meal. You done dropped the hot chocolate. She know them sweet.
I got
Jerry loves candy corn pies.
I got hot
chocolate. She need to stop. Hot chocolate, Jerry. Talk about her legs ache. Okay. I run over there right now with a piece of pie. She'll be Papa. You know I'm trying to wait instead of reaching to take it out my hand. She loves sweet. Yeah. Brother Lewis say, hey, Sister Jerry. And Sister Rita say, hey, Sister Jerry. Good morning, Sister Jerry. And good morning, Sister Samoa. And Sister Rita said, I'm hungry. And anyone else? Yeah, we all hungry now. Well, I ate a little breakfast. I had toast and peanut butter and a little orange juice and water. So I can talk about food and not be hungry. Maybe I'm wrong because I done ate me something and not everybody else has eaten something. But I was just thinking about that because we got to prepare early this year. You know, and so if y'all could see what Rita sent me with what the boy they bought daddy's stomach rumbling. Oh my goodness, but I'm hungry. And then what else? I just wanted to make sure I remind everybody, get your stuff as early as possible if you can. And you may, and Brother Lewis say, hey, Brother Anthony, and you may have to do a little sacrifice in this year to get your stuff early because it may not be, you know, the time that you had planned to buy. You may was thinking, well, later on, I'm going to take the money.
Thank you.
And buy whatever.
Is that the time?
If we can get it right now, do what we can. Yeah. So we'll have Thanksgiving and we'll have Christmas, especially if you have children. And if you haven't shopped Walmart, you know, but a layaway will work for you, and Walmart have layaway, as early as you can, I will go and do a layaway. I think you put 20% on it. And that way, that'll kind of guarantee your children, you know, get the gifts that you want for them. Yeah. And I'm praying this year that the Lord will open the door for me and I give out better gifts to everybody this year than I did last year. Yeah, because I like that Christmas. Oh, I love Christmas. I love that holiday season. I love Thanksgiving. All of that, it just makes me happy. And so, you know, giving and wrapping gifts. And this year I got some plans for myself. I'm going to play some Christmas music and wrap gifts. And Jerry might come over for hot chocolate, her and Bro Cal. And Nikki come over. Jerry slicing on the pound cake. Y'all know she loves sweets. Indeed. And we just have a wonderful time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So listen, is there anyone else? We got some time now. Get in on the fun. Get in on the fun. We have a good time laughing. No right and wrong answers. Yeah. We good. We good. All right, Sister Jerry, you was going to say something else, I think, and I cut you off. Or did you go back in there with Cal? I should have left her talk because she had to go back in there. All right. All right, Sierra.
All right. We'll have fun tomorrow. Bye, Sister Tion. It's so good to hear you.
I love y'all.
Bye.
Oh, my goodness. I'm back in the doctor's office. I thought that she had went back in there because she didn't say that when I said something to her right quick. So I figured she had went back in with Cal. And, oh, my goodness, that Jerry had me laughing too hard. And then some days when I called her, she had me rolling. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. But, Louis, I don't know what you're going to do. Thanksgiving coming. What your plans? Will you be able to eat mashed potatoes and a little gravy, Brother Louis? I don't know. You may be able to eat just a little bit of mashed potatoes and gravy. Not a whole lot. Because they're like me, we have to watch it. Yeah. And I'm just so grateful unto the Lord. And I thank God today Sister Samoa got a chance to press that number one and come in. It's been a minute. But I think she used to be at work sometime and I would press that number one and come in. Yeah. And share with us. And so we just thank God. And thank God for strengthening her. And bringing her to laughter and to even where she's at right now, because we remember she lost her daughter. Yeah, she lost her daughter. And I know that wasn't easy. That wasn't an easy thing, but God blessed her to get through it. And so we thank God. He's on outside to do it. And quite a few of us have gone through some things, but the Lord has blessed us. We still have joy. Hallelujah. Still have joy. Out of all the things we've been through, we still have joy. That's the Lord. That's God right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Been through the storm and lots of rain, but we can truly say we're making it. Yeah, with the help of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So is there anyone else? We still have a little time. All right, I will pray us out, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And then this Friday, we are going to have Testify Friday. I'm going to try to reach out and get some live people as well to come in and give live testimonies this week. And just try to liven it up a little bit. And I go from there. Because I know when the message going on some mornings, I know people relaxing and in the bed. Some of them are, you know, up, but they haven't gone out for the start of their day. And, you know, it can get a little sleepy. And I do understand. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done here today. Thank you for your word, Lord. I messed up, but I just can't give up. Father, you're a way maker. You're our peace, our joy, our happiness. You're our love, for God is love. And Father, we thank you for all you've done for us. What you're doing right now, thank you, Jesus, and what you're going to do. Great and mighty things. Father, without you, we can do nothing. And this morning, again, we're casting our cares upon you, for you careth for us. And we ask this day, that, Father, you would bless our family and friends. That, Lord, you would meet the need in our lives. Father, that you would bring forth our desires of our hearts. And that, Lord, those of us that stand in the need of money, God, that you would open doors and make ways for us. Those that desire a job, God, do it for them. Those that need a place to live, do it for them. And, Father, we ask that you would move on Sister Rita's GoFundMe quickly, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, she'll be able to get the place that she desires for her and her family, the place that she can afford, God. And, Lord, make it much more than it is. And, Lord, let the price be cut down to her budget in the name of Jesus. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. Bless our going out today and our coming in. and again meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you and help us, Lord, that if we mess up, we don't stay down, but we get up and continue to go in you for your kind, merciful, gracious, loving, understanding, and forgiving. And we thank you today. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, October 19, 2021, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we'll go to our last song of the morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.